Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here with another video, and today I'm just going to be talking a little bit about my thoughts. Again, I'm prefacing all my videos at the moment because people don't seem to understand when things are facts or opinions, but I'm going to be talking about my thoughts about this shift we're seeing in European esports, which is to see mainstream sports organizations come into the space and pick up esports teams, esports players, start opening esports divisions. And just a few thoughts about that. But we've already seen this happen in America. I remember, I think it was in an Unfiltered in 2015, maybe at the start of the year. I did tell people that NBA organizations especially, but NFL and just big sports brands in America, baseball, would be getting into esports. I was telling people there was a lot of interest, certainly when I was brushing shoulders, this is before I worked with Turner, with people who knew the sports stars, there was a lot of interest in owning esports teams. And we've seen that happen in America. You know, we've seen investment groups come together. We've seen the Philly 76ers come in and buy Team Dignitas. We've seen Rick Fox create Echo Fox. So, and more to come, you know, there's obviously Shaq associated with NRG, and, you know, I think there's, oh, and how can I forget? Of course, Renegades. So, and that trend's going to continue, by the way. But in Europe, we were a little bit unsure, and certainly there's a lot more to consider, you know, just for instance, you won't see a lot of German sports organizations particularly want to associate themselves with Counter-Strike. You know, Germany is a very strange country when it comes to video game censorship. There's a lot they had to do with Counter-Strike. Like, I don't know if this is still true. It certainly was the case at launch, but instead of people dying in the game, they sink to the ground and, like, put their hands behind their head or lie face down with their hands behind their back, you know, because woe betide you shoot anyone in a video game. And they did this with lots of things. You know, green blood was substituted in some instances. You know, the games like Mortal Kombat were banned. You know, think about how fucking innocuous it is to, like, think back about Kano ripping out that pixelated heart or whatever. So and just recently when they had that shooting by the young German Iranian guy, you know, they even didn't show the E-League finals, as they deemed it would be insensitive. So they're very sensitive when it comes to depictions of violence in video games and what they consider to be real life violence. And that's their culture, you know, whatever. I think it's a little bit silly, honestly, in terms of just how far their censorship goes for video games. I still would like to see some evidence of video games being harmful. But the point is, when it comes to esports, they're going to invest in things like League of Legends, which we've seen, not so much when it comes to Counter-Strike and perhaps other games, first-person shooters. So anyway, why am I talking about this? Well, there's a very good reason, and that is this tweet from Hastro, which I think is very interesting and kind of revealing in and of itself. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get rid of that from another video. And you can see here, this is Hastro here saying there's a big shift in the CSGO esports economy happening right now. Well, what does he mean by that? You know, what is he actually saying? Well, let's speculate here. We've seen multiple esports teams get locked into negotiations with big brands and hold out from existing esports owners. So let's have a look at Hastro. When Hastro came in and was looking to pick up a team, he knew he could go to the top of the food chain because his spending power, with his Call of Duty background, his Call of Duty organization, his Call of Duty money, effectively, because Call of Duty organizations are huge, and this is why we considered it to be a very good thing. You know, FaZe and Optic obviously followed suit. We considered it to be a very good thing in Counter-Strike to see these organizations come in, because we knew they had huge fan bases and huge brand presence. But I would wager that now, even organizations of the stature of Envious, who had a lot of money to spend and salaried their players very well indeed, they were one of the top salaried teams, even now by current standards, that's still true. That they are probably finding, holy shit, we're really struggling to compete. And this is part of a big issue that's going on now. Sports organizations have recognized us. If you've seen that famous New Zoo report that's going around, let me just get the exact number, actually. I don't want to get it wrong. But yeah, it was a $1 billion revenue by 2019 with an estimated 427 million people worldwide watching esports in some form. Those numbers are huge, especially when, if we look at, you know, in times of a depressed economy, sports season ticket sales will be down, sports attendance will be down, merchandising spending will be down. The only thing that's really going up is kind of pay-per-view packages for the in TV revenue. Sports have definitely identified that they've got a problem, and they understand that to defeat that problem, they need to get into the esports space. It's a very good way to engage with a young demographic that is willing to spend, does have a disposable income, and you can get a lot more bangs for your buck in esports than you can in traditional sports, and that's why they're coming in. And they are spending big, not big by their standards, not big by NBA standards, not big by NFL standards, not big by baseball standards, not big by football standards, but big by esports standards. And that's what that shift is about. Now, nowhere, I think, is this greater demonstrated than the recent announcement of Team Dignitas deciding to sign with FC Copenhagen. So let's get into that. Let's talk about what that means. I got to be honest, considering that Team Dignitas were just acquired by the Philly 76ers, I thought it was a very strange move. I thought this was a very backward-thinking move. And the only reason I can honestly see why the players would want to make that leap, well, two reasons. Nationality, regionality, come to that in a second. And the second one is just money. Plain and simple, money. My sources told me that when Team Dignitas, the Danish team, the former Team Dignitas, accepted the move to FC Copenhagen, it was going to make them one of the highest paid teams in the world, which they had good salaries at Team Dignitas, no doubt about it. But there's kind of like, okay, let me try and break it down for where the salaries are at right now. You've got kind of like what I consider actually still a pretty good salary, 5,000, 6,000, well, between 4,000 and 6,000, let's say. I think there are still some kind of top tier teams on $4,000. $4,000 seems to be the bottom. That's the starting point if you're a serious player in a pro team. That's what a high level tier one North America, tier one Europe, not tier one Europe, but you know what I mean. Like, we've got to pretend they're the same. But okay, a tier one team, regardless of region, minimum starting salary is going to be about $4,000 a month. And then you go up to about $6,000. And between there, you know, that's what you would pay a low level, you know, North American team that's going to play in big tournaments, but is never going to win them realistically. And then in the middle, you start moving up from $7,000 to $10,000. Now, $7,000 to $10,000 a month, that's fucking crazy money. I mean, when you consider that in like 2012, I realistically knew organizations that were getting like 800 euros, players were getting 800 euros a month, 1,200 euros a month. You know, this is fucking big money. This is God tier money. And I should say, actually, I think that's about where the market is, honestly. Right now, in my estimation, in my opinion, I think if you're paying $7,000 or $10,000 for a top-tier team that's going to legitimately compete at world events, I think that's about right. I think that's about where the salary should be for now, as the market stands. Beyond that, and trust me, it goes up to $17,000 a month. $17,000. And this is before we get into prize money, merchandising deals, sticker revenue. So it can be very lucrative being one of the best players. Now, I think if you're on that 11,000 to 17,000 tier, I think you're probably overpaying a little bit. I guess if you can afford it, I guess if money's no object, that's fine. But that is now, if you like, that is the salary that other these mainstream organizations are being told, oh, yeah, well, we'd only consider coming and playing for you guys if you pay us that. That's what the players are kind of saying. Hey, if it's a big organization, a big sports organization, let's get some big fucking money. Let's get some big money. And that's what they're saying. That's what we want, the big money. So And of course, these sports organizations, they can afford it. They make no mistakes about it. The very big ones, the top tier ones, they can afford it. Now, I'm going to be clear here. I'll just bring up this ESPN report, actually. Where was it? Yeah, here it is. All right, now, let's be clear about who's genuine, who's a genuine contender and who isn't within the esports space. So when these sports organizations come in, there are a group that I think are not time wasters, but they're not going to realistically achieve too much worth shouting about. So Panathinaikos is the most recent announcement. And, you know, I used to live with a Panathinaikos fan. Shout out to Mackie. Good old Mackis. You know, I used to live with a Panathinaikos fan, and I used to follow Greek football quite closely when I was at university. I'm an AEK Athens fan. They're my Greek team. But I'm going to be real here. While I love Panathinaikos, and I think they've got a great history and a great pedigree in soccer, I've got to say I do have my serious doubts about what they're going to achieve in the esports space. Not just for economic reasons, because obviously we all know the Greek economy got absolutely beasted by a series of, you know, political corruption, collapse of the Eurozone, all of that stuff. But honestly, that it just seems to be a way that they are like, hey, we again can engage with young people in our region. And you can see it says here, it's already in partnership with the Greek Esports Hub and event organizer Cowboy TV. And while they're looking at all of these games, they want to recruit players of Greek origin. That's going to be their focus. And they did say, you know, we want to take a big step, and we're going to work with teams and players from different popular games such as League of Legends, StarCraft, Dota 2, Counter-Strike, FIFA, and NBA 2K. This one at the end kind of makes me think that, yeah, you know, they've already got some deal done here with 2K Games, but whatever. And that's great. You know, I'm really happy for them. But let's be clear, these aren't an example of a big sports team that's going to come in and is going to skew the market. There's no way that that's going to happen. But there are other teams which I say would, you know, Schalke. They certainly had to spend a lot of money in getting the Elements League of Legends team, which they've subsequently rebranded. PSG have come in, and we all know how much money they've got, right? Paris Saint-Germain, very rich club, and they've been kind of mismanaged. And, you know, Man City are in there, West Ham are in there, you know, Valencia are in there. Yeah, there's all sorts of teams coming in. So that's all good. But we need to be clear about dividing them into, you know, who are going to be the haves and the have-nots, right? And Panathinaikos, for me, definitely a have-not. We'll see if I'm right about that, but I'm pretty confident. So the big teams, the big brands, the US brands and the major European soccer teams are coming in, and they definitely are going to skew the market. And that's what's happened in the instance of Team Dignitas. For me, definitely a money deal in terms of the players choosing to go there. And I'm a little bit kind of, I don't blame them. But it does seem to be almost a little bit short-sighted. I'll show you the HLTV announcement here, as I thought it was a little bit weird. So as I said, based on my understanding, this is going to make Dignitas one of the top-paid teams in the world. But let's take a look at some of the stuff that comes with it. So even though we know they've been signed by FC Copenhagen, they're going to play under the brand name North, and it has this kind of Nordic logo, which... I would have thought it would have been a wolf. It looks more like a lion, which is a bit weird, but, you know, maybe that's my lack of understanding about Nordic art. But very strange that they're just not playing under the name. And we saw this with the Philly 76ers. The Philly 76ers invested all that money in Team Dignitas, yet didn't want to put the 76ers branding on it. Very odd. Because I'm going to say this, Odie, forgive me. I think Team Dignitas is a pretty terrible name. I've never really thought it was great. It was at a time when a lot of UK teams and just esports organizations in general were like plundering Latin, you know, classical terms, because it made you sound like you had some sort of class and distinction about you. But really, Dignitas, when you say to me Dignitas, even now working in esports, I think about the suicide clinic. I don't think it's great branding. I'm sorry. So I would have relished the opportunity to be called the Philly 76ers. But why didn't the 76ers want to put their name on an esports brand? Are they going to do it later? You know, we've seen the Houston Rockets as well. They're coming in. That's a pretty good fucking brand. I think it's a good brand for esports. You know, the Rockets, right? So, well, we're going to have to wait and see. But I do think this is almost like we want to take the good of esports and not the bad. We want the good, as in we want access to the fans, the money, the demographic. We want to show that we're progressive and modern, and we definitely want to be part of this. But we're not going to put our name on it. We're not going to put our name on it. I mean, what does that say, right? Like, I think that's very strange. So to come up with a separate brand and be like, oh, this is FC Copenhagen's esports division, North, like, just call it, why can't you just be FC Copenhagen? What's the fucking point? So I was a little bit weirded out by that. I don't know why they needed a separate brand to play under the umbrella. I'm guessing that the players, like, based on what Rubinho said in his statement here, I would have thought they would have preferred it, actually, to be called, because North just sounds like some shit throwaway name that a mixed team comes up with, you know? But he says in his statement saying that, you know, I've officially signed with a football club. It's unbelievable that some years ago this was something everybody would laugh about, but now it's reality. So that's what Rubinho said. And, I think as a result, they'd like to wear that branding. They'd like to wear that label. Now, here's the other thing that I thought was fucking pretty wild. Longer contracts. 3 to 5 years, right? Which is a lot longer than we usually see in esports. That is a fucking understatement, Mr. Benja CS of HLTV. That is a fucking understatement. 3 to 5 years. 3 to 5 years. First of all, it doesn't really benefit players, in my opinion. It doesn't benefit players. Unless there's some sort of agreement that should they ever get kicked from the organization, they get the remaining salary. If that's there, fuck, sign me up for 10 years, you know? And then if you ever want to kick me, I got maybe 8 years back pay, you know, redundancy, which is fantastic. But 3 to 5 years in the current marketplace, we don't know where CS is going to be in 3 to 5 years. We don't know where esports is going to be in 3 to 5 years. This is a fucking evolving industry. It could, which I think it'll do, it could go astronomical through the roof. But just as equally, we could be in a bubble right now and it would burst and we'd all be sat around holding our fucking dicks and we'd all get fired and we'd all have no money and we'd all be back to the breadline. You know, that's legit. That's why you've always got to have something for yourself on the side just to fucking make ends meet. You've always got to be, you know, 1-2 steps ahead. I've lived through the bubbles. I've seen the bubbles. I know what happens when they collapse. They completely fucking level and decimate everything. 3 to 5 years is fucking insane. It's insane to do it as an organization, but it's especially insane if you're a player signing into that. Let's say Dignitas, they want to make a roster change. Let's just say it. I don't know why, you know, they would right now, and I don't know who they'd get. But I don't know, let's just say Device came on the market, and they were like, whoa, fucking Device, this is it. This is the move. This is the power play. And they want to put Device in there, you know, or MSL decides to retire again. Don't know why he would. And it's like, well, fuck it. We can have him as an in-game leader coach, and we can fucking put Device in. This could work. Just whatever, right? Just fantasize. Go fucking nuts. It's just being used for the exercise. None of this shit's going to happen. But the point is, if that mega move did come up, the player who gets kicked is still locked in. Well, what does he do for 3 to 5 years? Let's say for, you know, for 2 to 4 years. What does he do? He's left holding his dick with nothing, just nothing to do. That's it. Oh, well, I hope an organization wants to pay a huge buyout fee for me. So I don't get it from a player perspective, entering into long contracts. Esports isn't stable enough for that yet, in terms of roster stability. So that's pretty fucking crazy, in my opinion. But anyway, let's also just talk a little bit about how these organizations want it all. They're not just coming in and picking up teams. Right? They want other stuff. And this does make me a little bit wary. So you'll also see here in this report, it says that they wanted to bring a big tournament to their stadium, to FC Copenhagen Stadium, which is fine. But then they also said a little bit like, you know, they want to host a tournament with 40,000, 50,000 people in attendance. So I'm not too sure what this means. Like, are they just trying to fill the stadium? Do they actually want to host a tournament? Would it be called the FC Copenhagen Invitational? If so, how can you have an FC Copenhagen team compete in it? I've already expressed my concerns about how, like, you know, when an ES Force team, when two ES Force teams go and play in the final of an ES Force tournament, which is sponsored by gambling sites owned by ES Force, this is a fucking nightmare. This is a disaster. This is actually going backwards. This isn't helping esports. So I'm a little bit worried when mainstream sports organizations come in and say, yeah, we want to do this, and we want to do this, and we want to do this. What's wrong with just running a team? You don't do it in any other, you don't do it in mainstream sports. You don't come in and say, oh, we got a team and we play in the NBA. But what we'd actually like to do as well is run a separate league and run a cup. And you wouldn't do it. Like, you just don't do it. But they want to do it in esports. And this is what I mean about people wanting this big market share, because it gives them more money, you know. Anyway, they're just some concerns. But back to the main point, which is this schism, this, you know, development that we're seeing in esports right now, and that people, realistically, existing esports organizers cannot compete with sports organizations. Now, this is something that I'm going to go into more detail about in videos coming up, because this is one of the reasons why PEA exists. This is one of the reasons Rick Fox has had a very bad time in North American esports. They have rightly identified these guys as a potential threat. I think what they thought was going to happen when sports organizations came in, they were going to just buy the esports brands. So instead of creating your own and calling it North, they would have just bought Team Dignitas. Philly 76 has beaten to the punch. They still want the team. Fair enough. But, you know, you do a transfer and everything's good. But people thought they were going to sell whole divisions. And while that's happened in one or two instances, for the most part now, what these big sports organizations are coming in, again, you look at what Echo Fox has done, they're coming in and they're just creating their own brand. We're just going to create it. We've got the sponsors. We've got the ties. We can get venture capital like that. We're going to have more money than you instantly, overnight. Like, just overnight, 4 phone calls, and I've got more money annually than Cloud9, Team Liquid, and fucking TSM put together, right? That's the reality. And obviously this terrifies existing esports organizations, and it should. I don't particularly like this, by the way. I don't think this is a great way to run esports. I'm worried about it. I would prefer it if big sports divisions were buying entire brands and just folding them in. So, you know, maybe we don't have a Cloud9 anymore, right? But maybe Cloud9 represents, you know, the LA Lakers, right? And it's just the LA Lakers. And Jack's still the owner and the manager, well, you know, the general manager or CEO or whatever title they give him. All the players are still the same, and they get some nice yellow jerseys. You know, I'd prefer it to be that way. Because what I don't want is what I'm seeing, which is big sports brands coming in and they're hiring incompetent people. They're hiring incompetent people, or they're using their own people, which is the same thing, because they don't know the lay of the land. They don't know the space. That's why, for example, 3 to 5 year contracts, they probably think that's standard. They're probably thinking from a sports background. Crazy in esports. Crazy thing to do. But how would you know? How would you know? The amount of lawyers that I know have given players advice and gone, okay, well, I'm going to get you this 3-year contract. And they're like, nah, dog, 3 years don't work for me, because what's going to happen next year? Nobody knows. Oh, right, okay. 1 year? It's kind of short term. Not in esports. That's actually fucking long term as fuck. That's like 4 regular years. It's so crazy in industry esports is. It's just fluctuating all the time. And these sports guys don't know that and don't understand it. And that's why I think they could potentially be setting themselves up for a fall. But in the short term, that isn't going to matter. They're going to pump a load of money into this. They got the spending power, the buying power. They can fuck every mainstream esports organization, every endemic esports organization, till the cows come home. They can win every bidding war, you know. And this is why you're going to see more things like PEA and WESA coming, because what they're trying to do is, only through a unified front can we control our own destinies. Only through that unified front can we get enough money to maybe have a chance to stem the tide. Now, I don't think it's an entirely bad thing. There's a middle ground here where everybody can get paid, everybody can be happy, and esports can continue to grow. But unfortunately, what's also happening is the developers and the tournament organizers and all the big power players that really control esports, they prefer the big sports organizations to come in. They love it. Blizzard for the Overwatch League, they reached out and basically said to 30 or 40 or whatever it was, mainstream sports organizations, when we have this Overwatch League, be sure to come and bid. They got Serena Williams, I think it was, to advertise it. I mean, you know, how is, and this is the thing, they're doing regionality, which I did say I'd come to. So they're doing regionality. So regionality means that Cloud9, again, I'll use Cloud9 as an example. Cloud9 would have to bid against the LA Lakers for that, you know, particular region, for that, you know, for Los Angeles. Imagine that, right? Well, how do you outbid them? You can't. And I know Blizzard don't really care about that for the Overwatch League. They just want the biggest names, the most money, the biggest brands. They don't care if their esports league effectively pushes endemic esports branding out. So this is the big power shift Hasbro is talking about. This is the economy change. We've gone from venture capital, right, which is, right, I'll explain the difference. We've gone from venture capital coming in, which is an investment. We give you the money, you spend it, eventually we see a return. But if we lose money, no harm, no foul, we'll just pull out and then you'll have to adapt to not having that money anymore. To sports brands coming in saying, well, eventually we want to build a division as part of our company and eventually we might brand it or whatever, but we run it, we control it, it's a long-term project. Completely different things. And that's the phase we're entering right now, and that scares all of these owners shitless, and all the players as well are thinking, hey, I'd like to be involved with a sports organization. Just a little tip for you, it might not be all it's cracked up to be. The money might be good, but when it comes to expectations, I don't think they're going to understand the industry, the business. When it comes to, patience and you know, all of that stuff, I don't know. I got my doubts. And certainly when it comes to competence, I've definitely got my doubts. But back to the regionality point. This is another thing that's happened with the FC Copenhagen deal. Obviously, they're a Danish team. I think that was the number one pick. I don't think they wanted just a CS team. They wanted a Danish CS team to put in their stadium. And remember, Virtus Pro, they've bought a stadium with the ES Force money. That's going to be happening soon. I don't know if all the ES Force teams are going to be playing there, or the ones from that CIS region, or whether it'll just be explicitly Virtus Pro. Overwatch League, that's pushing regionality again. I don't see the point in regionality, honestly, but I guess maybe I'm wrong on this. You know, we tried it with CGS, didn't work. I think one of the great things about esports is you can support any team in the world, and it not matter, and you can follow any player, whatever org he plays at, wherever he lives in the world, and we watch it all online, and we never need to go to a stadium, but we can if we want, and when we do, it's a big deal, and people come from all over the world to do it. That's what I like about esports, but that those barriers are broken down. But ultimately, it looks like we're going back to regionality, because I think a lot of these sports brands, that's what they understand. That's the background they're from. And one of the things they're going to be looking to do is get bums on seats in stadiums, is getting people sitting down. That's bums as in your bottom, not bums as in the American word for a homeless person. But maybe if they need to fill the bleachers. No, I'm just kidding. But, they want to get people in the stadium. They want to get people through the turnstiles and make some money. And that's what they think is going to work. I don't think that's going to work. I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening if that's one of the business models, personally. There's certainly nothing in esports that would operate as a proof of concept that that could work. So you are taking a punt in the dark. You're taking a chance. But the bottom line, just to sort of wrap it all up in a neat little bow, is, yeah, we are seeing a big power shift. We are seeing a big money shift. These mainstream sports organizations, the players, the serious players, right, the real deal, not the Panathinaikos of this world. Certainly, I'm going to rank FC Copenhagen because they've spent big up there. And there'll be others to come. You watch this Overwatch League, trust me. These brands are going to really make it difficult for endemic esports organizations to retain top-tier talent, to win bidding wars, to continue to do what they do. They may even have to focus on titles that aren't existing ones that we know as top-tier esports. They might have to go and almost be like kingmakers in kind of second-tier titles like Rocket League and stuff like that. But even then, if that catches the eye of a big brand, you're done. So I kind of feel a little bit sorry for some of the existing team owners here, because what they expected was, hey, we'd love the validation of mainstream sports. We'd love you guys to come in and work with us and buy our divisions, and we can give you our knowledge and our competence and our understanding of the space. And in exchange, you give us that validation, you give us that budget, you give us that security, and what we do is we build something incredible together. Wrong. What they're doing is they're coming in and going, you know what, thanks for building this fucking esports industry. This shit's great. We're going to take it now, okay? We're just going to come in, and we're going to have it. And they're going, yeah, but can we have a job? Some of you can have a job. Definitely not the super competent ones or the ones capable of building a business or the ones that want to retain their own business. You will not be allowed. You will not be allowed to remain. But can we at least keep our players? Now, we'll be taking those. We'll definitely be taking those because we've got the money to outbid you. And you know what? We'll just buy them out of their contract, even if you don't want to fucking play ball, because we got more money than you. And guess what? The money we're spending, fucking chump change to us, because we used to signing people like LeBron, right? And trust me, when it comes to needing to sign nothing, there's a bit of a disparity there, even though I know Jordan is a hell of a asset to any team. That's the reality. So, big shift definitely coming in. I'm going to watch it with interest, specifically for Dignitas. I think it's a weird one, but maybe it'll work out. I don't know. It's I'm sure they know they're entering into unknown territory, but it's going to see that for the best teams, the teams that are genuinely capable of winning majors and big titles, they're going to command a pretty huge salary right now that is going to see a lot of endemic esports brands have to take backward steps and measures to either lock people in or get value for money when they inevitably have to sell these players, or just pick up teams that aren't going to be able to compete. And this is a trend we're going to see in 2017, based on my understanding of the market. So anyway, those are my thoughts. Always nice to share them with you. I'll be back probably in about 1 or 2 days after this video's out now, because I'm finishing some stuff off in Vegas. This was pre-recorded. You can see, check out the sponsor link down there, which we move between that and the Audible over the course of the video. And anyway, thanks a lot for watching, and I'll see you on the next one. Take care.